special guest here this morning. Well, I've come from the distant past to tell you just one principle, or at least focus on one principle that's found in the Bible, but took me a whole lifetime to learn. 80 years. Now, that's a lifetime. In fact, it's more than a lifetime for some and less than a lifetime for others. I was born in the normal fashion, but circumstances around my birth caused my parents to surrender me for adoption at an early age. Well, my birth parents were wonderful people and wouldn't have ordinarily given me up. However, God had a plan that I wasn't aware of, and I'm sure my birth parents weren't aware of. Somehow he wanted to get Pharaoh and the Egyptian courts to raise and rear a Hebrew slave in their home. And so how could he get a Hebrew to give up one of their precious boys? How could he get Pharaoh's house to take one in and raise him in all the knowledge and wisdom of Egypt? Aha! And so that was me. Oh, my adopted mom called me Moshe. You know me as Moses. It means drawn out of the water, because that's where my birth parents placed me after things were so tense that they thought that I would be eliminated. They put me in a little basket and set me adrift and prayed, "Oh, Yahweh, may your grace be on him." Well, as you can imagine, I grew up with somewhat conflicting feelings inside. Certainly happy that I didn't suffer the fate of many of my boys the same age. On the other hand, sometimes I wished I had. And yet I also enjoyed all the wisdom of training of Egypt and all the luxuries. I mean, it's hard not to like that. I mean, I could have anything I wanted, do anything I wanted. Well, almost, except they made me study, intensely study. I had to learn everything there was to know. But I became a mighty prince in Egypt. That wasn't bad. I rather enjoyed that. Now, there was one other little thing. My Egyptian parents really were big on the gods. And so I got to learn all about the gods and worship. In fact, yes, we were big religious people. Now, my birth parents were also highly religious people. They only had one god, and they suffered as slaves and were in dire poverty. I kind of thought they had the bad end of the stick. It was somehow there was some anger that boiled up inside me for injustice. I just didn't like injustice, and it felt like my birth parents were being unjustly treated. Well, I was torn between these two worlds, the world of my birth parents and the world of my adopted parents, both who were highly religious, who prayed often, who spoke to the gods. In time, I learned that it's one thing to believe and to pray. Another thing to know that you're believing and praying in the one true God. Well, by the time I reached 40, the sense of injustice was far more than I could handle. And one day I was out and about as normal, and I saw an Egyptian taskmaster cruelly treat a Hebrew. I mean, the sense of injustice rushed up inside of me, and I said, "Okay, I can't stand it no longer." And so I dealt with the matter in the way that seemed prudent to me. Well, my grandfather wasn't big on that. Now, my grandfather, you know, we got to celebrate all the holidays with family, and Granddad had some quirks. You know, he was a nice enough fellow. He had some quirks, and one of the things he didn't like was, he didn't like me messing with the kingdom. And so he ordered my arrest and execution. Well, so I did what only a brave young man would do. I ran fast as I could. I got out of Dodge. I mean, I told myself, I know this. He means it. He did it to all my other relatives, and so he'd do it to me too. And so I got out as fast as I could and took a path that I figured he might not follow me. I went through the desert, long, dry desert, a long distance, until I got to a little place called Midian, where I thought he might not bother me anymore. Now, there in Midian, I found injustice again. I mean, I just barely arrived. These people weren't slaves. I mean, they're just ordinary folks trying to, you know, take care of their sheep. And so there's a couple girls out there, and they were looking after some sheep. And some big, burly men who thought they owned the whole desert, they came and shooed the sheep away. And I thought, oh, injustice. I can't stand injustice. And so I did what any, you know, guy would do. I dealt with injustice. Well, the girl's dad invited me home for dinner, and I found one of his daughters and took a little liking to her. And, well, in no time, we were married and had a family. And then I decided to change occupations. And so I went from being a mighty prince of Egypt to just a sheep herder. And grew my hair out and got a beard. Beards are hard to grow, you know. Lost some of this stuff. There. Takes a while to get old. There I was, a Midianite, well, in Hebrew clothing. And there I got old and just learned how to tend sheep. You know, it was a little easier there, slower life. And I just got old, found myself a stick to deal with sheep. And had a family, and, well, it kind of felt like that was the end of life. I was 40 when I got to Midian, and life went on, 50 and 60, 70. Now, I got my gold card there and decided I'd just kind of play out the rest of my days on the backside of the desert by the mountain of God and tried as hard as I could to forget about my people in Egypt. And then one day, when I was 80. Now, I'm not sure about you, but where I come from, 80 was getting old. I mean, for some people, it was really old. And for other people, it was just starting to get pretty old. For me, it was old. I was feeling it in my back. I was feeling it all over. I was moving slower. I had more time to talk, maybe not as much wisdom, but more time to talk, more time just to look and stare at things. And I saw this burning bush. Well, now, it wasn't unusual for bushes to kind of spontaneously ignite out in the desert because it was stinking hot out there. And so I thought, well, since this one isn't burning up, that was the exciting part. It wasn't burning up. I thought I'd just kind of go over and look at it. And while I was looking at it, this bush talked to me. When Yahweh saw that I had gone over to look at it, he called to me from the middle of the bush. He says, Moshe, Moshe. I said, whoa. Oh, hey. Here, that's me. Here I am. How'd the bush know my name? Then the bush said to me, don't get any closer. Okay. He says, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground, so take your sandals off. Whoa. They had told me this was the Mount of God, the Mount Horeb. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe I've really, really done it. I've found God. And then he called his name. He said, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I hid my face from him because I knew that if you saw the face of God, you'd surely die. So I hid my face from him as he began to talk to me. And then he says, I've surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and know about their suffering. Oh, I like this guy. He sees injustice. He says, and I've come to deal with it. Right the wrongs. I said, you know, I kind of like God. He's just right down my alley. And then he said something I didn't like at all. He says, so I'm sending you. Go to Pharaoh and bring my people out of Egypt. Now, hold it, God. I liked you up to that point. And now we got a little problem. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I mean, I don't have any wisdom or ability. I mean, I was already there. I mean, you put me there and it didn't work out so well. And so I don't like the idea. No problem. I'll go with you. Oh. But what if they don't believe me? I mean, they didn't believe me. What would make them believe now? Now, here's that one principle. Remember, I was just going to tell you one principle? This is the principle. He says, what is that in your hand? What? My old staff? I mean, I had it for 40 years. It's a dry stick, God. But I use it. It kind of helps me get around. It's kind of old. And I grab sheep who are kind of lost. And with this end, I beat off animals. It's just my stick. It's kind of handy. It's my handy stick. Well, he says, I want you to throw it down. Throw it down? I think it sounded different. And as I threw it down, all of a sudden, it became a desert snake, a hideous, poisonous desert snake, and I ran from it. And I thought, God, you can do that with my rod. There was this impression, if I give God what's in my hand, he can do amazing things with it, even if it's a dry old stick. Whatever I already have, what's comfortable with me, what I already know about, what I'm used to, just give it to God. And then he said, pick it up. Pick it up? Yes, don't just pick it up. Pick it up by the tail. Now, I've been on the desert for 40 years, and I know one thing about desert snakes. You pick them up by the neck, right behind the neck so they can't bite you. And if you pick them up by the tail, you'll get bitten so fast, you're a dead man. My God's a scary God. I like his passion for dealing with injustice, but he tells you to do scary things. And I had a decision right there. Am I going to do what God has suggested or not? I told myself, I'm 80 years old. What do I have to lose? I'm going to die tomorrow anyway. Okay. So I grab my rod by the tail, and sure enough, the snake, and it becomes my rod again. Now, that rod became the rod of God. It was one of three signs that God gave me. The other one was for my other hand. He says, put your hand inside your cloak. It popped out, and it was leprous. Now, leprous is death too. Oh, my goodness. Death all around me. He says, put it back in again. I put it back in. Clean as a baby's baby. Well, my rod became the rod of God. And with it, I struck the Nile River to turn to blood. With it, I brought a plague of frogs, of gnats, of thunder and lightning and fire and hail, locusts, and I divided the Red Sea. And as I held my rod up, struck the rock, water gushed out. Battles were saved because I gave to God what was already in my hand. The question is, what's in your hand? And are you willing to give it to God this year, this brand new year? As we start this year, would you give what you have in your hand to God? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've already given us things. Talents, abilities, items, and now you've asked us to give them back to you so that you can use them as you wish. Help us to do that.